as somebody who has done a lot of self-tapes, I really enjoy getting that, like, callback moment when they want you to tape it and they give you another note. Because me as an actor, if I go in person and do the scene and they go, great, could you do it again? But maybe like just do it a little slower. You'll do it again and they'll be like, cool, thanks, next. And leaving, I don't feel better with the note that they gave me. I feel kind of like, oh, well, they gave a note to everyone. Now, if it's self-tape and they give me a note and go, hey, can you retape again? But like maybe pick up the pace a little bit. I as an actor feel like I just got pinned. I feel like I'm in the top three. That makes me want to stay in the acting game longer. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the epic, the spectacular Delulu Canoe! Yeah! Today we have a very special guest, but first and foremost, we have to introduce my co-host, the amazing, spectacular, and super silly Cosmo from the Cosmo Show!
What up, everybody? How you doing, Dan?
Applause, applause.
Oh my god, he's so awesome!
I am so excited for today because we're doing this episode a little bit differently. We're going to be challenging ourselves today. Not only are we having a very unique and special guest, but we're going to be doing a debate.
Nice.
I'm scared. But joining us in the Delulu Canoe, we have my spectacular friend who's been in, gosh, okay, can I name a bunch of the things you've been in?
You better be able to.
High and Mighty. He's been in Shining Vale on Stars. Well, not anymore. Oh my gosh, just Shining Vale.
But it is up for purchase, so if any other networks want to purchase it for season three, just contact Jeff Astro.
What's the big one? Oh.
SWAT.
SWAT.
SWAT. I remember SWAT.
That was fun.
NCIS.
I did that.
And then what's the really big one? The people recognize you from Mindhunter.
That's the one.
He is Adam Williams Astro. That's really embarrassing. I didn't know all those off the top of my head. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, a little bit. Like some bestie.
I have learned that I am terrible at introducing my friends because, like, I just want to say how wonderful you are, and then I would never get to the show. So I usually, like, write out on my cue card, like, some key points about everyone.
Yeah.
But with you, I didn't think I needed to, and clearly I did.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell me how wonderful I am for a half hour if you want to. That's totally fine. But you came up with nothing, I guess we'll have to just go to the podcast.
Damn! Mm-hmm.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, soundbite.
We're going to be testing out some sound bites today too, so let us know if you like them in the comments. But so if you don't know, as a Delulu listener, Adam and I are actors in LA. Well, I mean, Cosmo's an actor too. You act every once in a while.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I might get back into it.
Ooh. So we've got a group of actors here. And yes, I do prefer to go by actor because I don't think...
Actress isn't. Yeah, I think actress become a gender neutral term now.
Actress is out.
Yeah, it's like bartending, guy or girl, or bartender.
Yeah. But we have kind of found ourselves talking a lot about like pre-pandemic acting, during pandemic acting, which there was none, strike acting, which again, there was none, and what it's now like being an actor after all of those events. And we've kind of determined that we have a little bit of some beef.
We do, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Do you want to tell them what the beef is, or should I?
Well, I've been staring at each other. I mean, it's like, who's going to bring the beef? Yeah, I've been thinking about this beef all day. So the debate is self-tapes versus in-person auditions, which wouldn't have been much of a debate prior to the pandemic. Because...
Okay, hang on, though. You're an actor. Say it like really dramatically. Come on, give us the tea.
The debate is between in-person tapes and self-tapes tonight on Delulu.
Whoa. That was great.
That was kind of great.
Wow.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, I'm into it. Okay, but we are going to be debating.
Yeah.
So we have to be serious.
Okay, serious time.
Well, okay, we don't have to be serious. Okay. We can be a little silly. Okay,
I'm going to be drinking coffee nonstop from this. So if like I just keep blocking my face, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
The best part of waking up is don't a say coffee Folgers. Cup yeah, in okay. your face.
French pressed.
And I'm drinking Cherry Coke because... What's better than a cherry Coke?
Yeah.
It's literally 11 o'clock at night, by the way. Oh, wait, Cosmo, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a beverage. Celsius.
self-tapes.
Wait, it's 11 o'clock at night. So
it is.
Just to let you all know, it's kind of late. So This is going to be a really difficult debate for me because I'm not a night owl, but I took on the challenge.
Great.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Okay.
I'll let you go first. You're my guest.
Yeah, well, but I've been thinking about this beef all day because I was trying to build my case for my defense of in-persons. So, by the way, I'm on the camp of I prefer in-person auditions versus self-tape auditions.
I'm in the camp of self-tapes over in-person.
Correct. Yes. Yes. So I was thinking about that, but I don't want to say I'm changing my stance because that's definitely not the case.
Whoa,
that's not the case.
Whoa.
But in the avenue of commercials, I think I prefer self-tapes versus in-persons. But for theatrical TV and film,
okay,
in-person's the way to go. And it's funny because all of the things that I absolutely despise about commercial auditions, mm-hmm, are the reasons that I like to do it as a self-tape versus in-person.
Okay. Well, let's back the train up a little bit.
Okay.
Let's start with why you prefer, like, what's better about being in person? Give me, like, one key point.
So for theatricals and TV, I prefer in-persons because it puts the pressure on you as an actor a little bit. You have to become far more prepared in a way that you would have to be when you go on set should you book the job anyway. Mm-hmm. So, like, with self-tapes, you can literally book your entire day for yourself and shoot it for 20 hours if you want, rehearsing it over and over and over and coaching it over and over and over until you get the exact piece that you want. But you're not going to have the ability to do that on set. So I think that it can cause problems where you're booking actors that might not necessarily be ready for the changes that can happen on set or some of the demands that can happen when things go not the way that they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. So that I think that in turn by itself makes you a better actor because you have to be far more prepared. It's not, you can't just do the tape and drop a line and, oh, I get to start over and, oh, I liked the way I did the beginning of this, but I didn't like the way I did the end of this. I'm going to do it again. When you're doing an in-person audition, you generally get one shot,
right,
and that's it. And if you fumble a line, that it doesn't matter. You know, like, they might give you a direction, and if they do, that usually means that you're doing something right that they like. Mm-hmm. But it's a one shot, and that's it. The other thing I like about it is that you get to build a rapport with the casting director.
Wait! You're moving on to another point. Hang on.
Okay.
I'm gonna let you finish. Okay. I'm gonna pull Kanye.
Debate point.
I'm gonna let you finish. Okay. Taylor Swift.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, the award's yours. Yep. Go ahead.
You you brought up that you can spend a lot of time on your tape, and you saw that as a negative because sometimes it's putting an actor on set that may not be ready. But I would like, correct, to rebuttal that when you do only get one chance, a lot of times you don't get to put your best foot forward. So you are being judged specifically on that one particular moment when a lot of actors, especially, you would know, professional actors that are huge, don't nail it on the first take. They'll spend hours or won't even memorize their lines. I know an actor, which I won't name, who has to read off cue cards, not like me on this podcast, has to read off cue cards because they don't even take the time to memorize their lines. And I would argue that having the ability to put your best foot forward, you can compare actors via self-tape better, more practically, because when you hit send, you are agreeing that that is your best take. So you have no other excuse. You can't blame it on, like, well, I wasn't prepared, I didn't know my lines, I only got one shot and I was nervous. You had all day. You had all the time. And if you chose to do it any other way, that's on you. And I think it's putting actors in a more even playing field because you get to submit your best tape. So you can either move on to your next point or you can rebuttal.
Oh, I'm going to rebuttal that. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
All right.
No, I mean, I agree with what you're saying that not every actor is going to put their best foot forward on the first take. I mean, even when you're doing a self-tape, how many times do you actually use the first take that you did?
You do a lot, actually.
I do actually a lot, actually. But that's because I trained to be able to be auditioning in person. Because self-tapes were so rare prior to the pandemic. It wasn't something that really happened a lot.
I just screamed.
Horrible example.
I'm so sorry.
I know. But I guess that's kind of my point, though, is that if you're going to be – the argument you're making when you go in to get the job is the same as when you're going in to get any job, is that your argument is that you are the best and I, mm-hmm, need to show you why I'm the best.
Right.
So if you can't do your best in front of them, how are you going to be able to do your best on set?
Okay. I will debate that because I've been on set, which we're also, to kind of clear the air, we're both two different avenues of actors, where Adam is SAG, which means, like, you get to do, like, bigger projects and you're on more bigger professional sets, where I'm not SAG, so I'm non-union, which means I do a lot of indie, like, small budget skeleton crew type of projects. And I would say that being able to perform on the spot like that is important. Yes. And I do think that, like, for big budgets, it is important that sometimes you're on a time crunch and maybe lunch ran a little bit too long or something happens where you only get one take. I do agree that that does happen because it's happened to me a couple of times. But I've also been on the other side where a director will sit there for hours on one scene and it's okay to not nail it on the first take. So for me personally, I love, which is why I like indie sets for different purposes, that like I get to become closer with the director. And when we spend more time on a certain scene, it usually makes the scene better. And it makes me look better in the end product because I got to be not handheld. Like I'm not trying to say that like I didn't know my lines or like maybe it just wasn't there. But sometimes a director can come up to you and be like, hey, I'm getting what I want from you, but I know you can go deeper. So just take a second, get in the space, and just really, really make me feel for you. I do think, like, you bring up a good point that you should be able to just wham, bam, do it, especially on bigger sets, because a lot of times they don't have that time. You don't get the luxury. But I think it's important that putting out the best product is more important, I think, and makes a better product in the end rather than just being able to do an okay job in one take.
Okay. I think we should also talk about the fact, too, that in an instance where you're going to go into a casting room and only get one take, mm-hmm. that would typically be something for like an under 5 co-star or an under 10 co-star, you know, a co-star where you're only getting one scene. Typically, if you're doing a bigger role where it's going to be a bigger guest star or, you know, a multi-episode recurring or a lead, there's not going to be just one audition. Like, mm-hmm. people, when they're casting for a bigger part where they know you're going to get more screen time, they're going to give you that opportunity mm-hmm. to do more takes. So you might come in and you might nail it on the first take, but they still might be like, okay, well, here's the direction. This is what I want to see.
Right.
And that's the other thing I love about the in-persons is that you're able to get that feedback. Mm-hmm. When you're doing self-tapes, you can't do it. You can send in two or three different versions to show them, you know, a couple different flavors of the character, but you can't get that director feedback. And some people, you know, and this isn't necessarily me, but this is, again, why I think it's better, in my opinion, to have in-persons, is that some people might not be the best at creating flavors for a self-tape, but they might right. take direction really, really, really well. Mm-hmm. So you could have an actor that creates completely bland self-tapes, but you put them in front of a director who says, oh, I need to see this, or a casting director who says, that was okay, but show me some of this, and they take the adjustment, and all of a sudden, bam, they're the most amazing thing you've ever seen.
Right.
So it's like that kind of an actor would never get an opportunity in a land where you're doing strictly self-tapes.
Yes, I agree with you, except for, as somebody who has done a lot of self-tapes, I really enjoy getting that, like, callback moment when they want you to tape it and they give you another note. Because me as an actor, if I go in person and do the scene and they go, great, could you do it again? But maybe like just do it a little slower or do it quicker. I feel like you're not moving with the pace of what I wrote. You'll do it again and they'll be like, cool, thanks, next. And leaving, I don't feel better with the note that they gave me. I feel kind of like, oh, well, they gave a note to everyone because everyone was in person. Now, if it's self-tape, and they give me a note and go, hey, can you retape again? But like maybe pick up the pace a little bit. I, as an actor, feel like I just got pinned. I feel like I'm in the top three. That makes me want to stay in the acting game longer because it feels like another callback when it's not. But any type of feedback on a self-tape is gold because no one gives feedback on self-tapes. I think I've gotten one twice.
That's true.
So to me, it's like, that would breadcrumb me into staying in the game longer, whereas that experience in person would make me feel just kind of like another day, another audition where I got told to do it a little bit differently and then they sent me on my way afterwards.
But I think in a lot of those cases, the casting directors just want to see if you can take a note. It doesn't, yeah. It's like the tape you gave them could have been 100% exactly what they're looking for. But the casting director might not necessarily know what the director is looking for. Mm-hmm. So they just give you a note just to see if you can take it.
Right.
And just to see what you've done with it. Because I've had that happen to me where I've gone in, I gave what felt like an okay audition. I got a note where they do it this way. did it that way and okay, thank you so much, and walked out feeling like a complete piece of garbage. And then before you even get home, you get the phone call that you're getting an availability check. You know, I've 100% had that happen.
Yeah.
And it's even fun. It's funny that you mentioned Mindhunter before, though, too, because that one I initially was a self-tape. And that's like arguably one of my biggest roles. And but that's because the casting company is based out of New York. So I had to send in a self-tape in like June or July. And then it wasn't until the end of August that they were like, oh, we're going to do a callback. But our casting director is going to fly down to LA so you can do an in-person callback that way.
Wow.
Yeah. And I definitely, I feel like we talked before about how you're going to get better footage when you're doing more takes, and you feel like you're not, you know, how you're going to, the more takes you get to do on set, you're going to really find the character a lot better. I think, I think that when a casting director has you come in, a lot of times the casting director is going to know who the director is and they're going to know their style. So if you're coming in and you're going to, and you're auditioning in person for a soap opera, you're going to get one take, maybe a second.
Soaps,
you
know, man.
And especially when you're doing soaps, soaps are a weird thing too, because you're, you go in front of one casting director, but the casting director usually has an earpiece where they're on online with all of the producers. So you could have 10 or 12 people watching, but you're only in the room for one.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's how Days of Our Lives does it.
Okay.
So with soap operas, like, you'll get one take, maybe a second adjustment if they really like you and really like something that you did, but they want to see if you can take it. And that's going to be it, because with the soap opera, they're shooting 100 pages a day. You get one take, maybe two, if you're lucky, and that's going to be it. Whereas with Mindhunter, where you have somebody like David Fincher, who's notorious for shooting anywhere between 50 and 90 takes for every single setup.
Which is insane.
But, that's what everybody says. But after having done it, it's not insane at all.
But it's like, he gets good things out of their actors.
It was a masterclass in acting. And I would do it again every single day for the rest of my life if I had the opportunity. Absolutely.
Well, I don't think people realize, like, it's not like one line 50 times over. It's like chunks of dialogue.
It's the entire scene 50 times. You might shoot that one scene from that one setup for 3 days. Absolutely. But when you get to take 58, it's going to be absolutely amazing, you know,
because you're not thinking about it anymore. It's like, it's ingrained in you.
So for that, for an instance with that self-tape, like, that casting director knew that director. They know how they do things. So when I did the self-tape, it was, send me three versions.
Okay.
You know, which you normally won't, they won't ask for three versions of the same thing, especially if it's like a 9-page audition. You know, but on the initial self-tape, it was, give us three versions. And then, okay, for the callback, take this direction. Now take this direction. And, you know, I ended up doing it 5 or 6 times because that's, you know, when you go work with David, it's going to be 50 takes.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to bring up a debate point, because I'm curious to hear what you'll rebuttal with this, or if maybe you'll be like, oh, never thought about it that way. I love the idea of self-tapes because you don't have a director really telling you what they're looking for. And it allows you as an actor to really fully create and be an artist. I think a lot of times when you're waiting in line outside to go in and you hear the person in front of you, like, either doing an amazing job or doing horribly, it makes you instantly rethink about how you're doing the scene.
Yeah.
Like, do I need to be louder? Do I need to be softer? Self-tapes eliminates that, and you get to do it however the fuck you want. You want props? Bring on in the props. You want to take your time with the beginning and really make the scene? Do it. You want to start really close and really intense and then push way back and be shocked and scared? Go for it. No one can stop you mid-performance and be like, no. Like, you get to be risky. You get to be bold. And sometimes that will set you apart in the best way or the worst way. But I love the freedom of it.
And I get that. I cringed as soon as you said props, but I have such a thing with props.
No, you don't like it?
Freaking auditions, yeah.
You don't like props?
NPC. Yeah. So with theatrical auditions, I hate props. They're distracting as hell. And especially somebody who always plays the bad guy, Like
what?
I know. Like I look like I should be the priest.
Time cast.
Yeah, 100%.
The priest.
But like every audition I get is gonna have like a gun in it or a knife in it or I'm punching somebody in the face or I'm tied up and getting punched in the face or I'm supposed to be like doing coke or like you know there's
tied
like
up and
it's
punched in the face.
Yeah, like
it's like how do you do that?
I swear to God, it happens all the time where you'll get you know three scenes for a self tape and it'll be like the first one will be like all this amazing broody dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one will be like all this amazing, like I miss you, and it's like it just goes totally a different direction with the emotion. And then the third scene will be like six pages,
gunfight,
where it's gunfight and shooting and diving, and there's like all this stage direction. And across the six pages, you'll have maybe three lines, you know. And that becomes a weird, like with self tapes, it becomes a weird thing because you know they generally don't give you a lot of direction. And if they want you to do something on the page, it'll be mm-hmm. on the page. If they don't want you to do it, they cross it off or they exit out or whatever.
Yeah.
But if it's on the page, it's on the page. So now you're ducking and diving and doing all this stupid gun stuff, which looks so dumb
yeah.
in self tapes just to get these three lines across. Whereas if you were in person, you could say, okay, how do you want me to handle the gun prop?
Yep.
You know, you can ask questions in person that you can't do with a self tape. And I mean, they always say like, we're encouraged if you have any questions, email us about this. But like, are you supposed, you know, this casting, yeah, they're never going to email back because, you know, with in-person auditions, they might've seen 60 people in a day for a part. With self tapes, they're going to see 300 because they can rifle through them so much faster. But because of that, they're not going to have the time to answer questions. So
right.
I feel like you don't, yes, you get all this time to prepare and do it the best of your ability, but you never know for sure if this one question you had is if you're answering it the correct way,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then with in-persons, you get to build that rapport with the casting directors too. There was a show that I went in and auditioned for 37 times between co-stars, guest stars, and recurrings.
Mm-hmm.
It was a multi-cam show that I went in 37 times. And obviously
wow.
there was somebody in either a director they used regularly or a producer that was on the show that obviously just did not like me. But the
aww.
Casting director loved me, you know, because she kept calling me back in.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I knew every time I was coming in that, you know, after I got past about the 15th or 20 of them, I kind of put together that there was somebody higher up that just...
It just wasn't
working
for them.
It wasn't. I just, whatever I was selling, they just weren't buying. And that's fine. Like, not everybody's
going
to be for every show.
Yeah. You don't know that it's you. You have, you know.
I've heard stories of where it's like, you know, an actor was the best part for the role, but then they didn't get it because the producer's wife saw the headshot of the actor and it reminded that person of a cousin that they had when they were 16 that they didn't like. And then the actor didn't get the part because of that. Stupid stuff totally happens like that.
He's also not saying that this...
It wasn't me. It was something I had heard in the past.
You're like telling the story.
Right.
I have no idea who it is
even. Yeah, I really don't even know who the actor was.
Could you imagine?
But I'm aware of the story.
You get blacklisted
because
of this podcast.
Right. So you never know why you're not. I mean, it could simply be that I looked too much like a series regular on the show. And they were just like, it could be confusing because of this. You know,
yeah.
You never know.
It could be anything.
But obviously, like, the casting director liked me because they kept coming in. And it was nice going in, even though knowing I probably wasn't going to get this part. It was nice being able to talk to them, update on their life, find out what
yeah.
they're doing, because you get to know these people. Like the casting, a lot of people see casting directors as like the first gatekeeper. And I hate that perception of them because that puts them in a bad light because it's always, why didn't casting like me? What did I do that casting didn't like me? You know, what did I do wrong that they picked this person over that person?
Right.
Whereas casting might not have had anything to do with it. Typically, casting is going to be your biggest fighter. Like they're not the first person at the gate. They're the first person that's pulling you into the fight.
Yeah,
like
they're rooting for you. They're
exactly. They're always rooting for you and they're always rooting for you on your side. And that's why they might ask for a change in direction when you're doing your tape, because you might bring in something that you feel was good, but they know it's not appropriate for the project, but they know what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
So casting might know what you're capable of. And
right.
you might not have presented that with a character that you brought in because you might not be familiar with the show. It could be a new show where you didn't even have the opportunity to look up what the tone is, you know, because the tone of the show is very important too. And that's something that you can't really get from a self-tape either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you could be handed a lawyer script for, you know, a co-star for a lawyer, and this script applied to Law and Order versus that script applied to Risley and Isles versus applied to Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It could
mm-hmm.
be the exact same script with the exact same dialogue, but all of that's going to get delivered in a drastically different way depending on the tone of that show.
Right. I'll debate that, though, that if they like your look and they like what you brought, they'll give you, like, they'll say, hey, that was a good tape. Can we get it more this direction?
I think.
Doesn't usually happen, but, like, if they really like you, and if they really think you're, like, top three potential, they'll give you the note via self-tape.
I think during the pandemic, yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. And I'd say since we've moved away from most of the COVID restrictions, I'd say maybe not. Because during the pandemic, with all of the restrictions that were in place, if you're not part of the industry, when COVID was going on, if you were shooting a project, you had to be tested for, you know, the incubation period was whatever, 7 days. And then it was, you had to be clear for at least 10 or 14 days if you had had it prior to coming on set. So if you
booked, per union.
Yeah. So if you booked a SAG role and, you know, you were supposed to start shooting on the 16th, you had to start getting COVID tested on the 2nd, and you would be COVID tested every other day up until your shooting schedule. And then you would be tested on site every single day while you were shooting in order to make sure.
And then wouldn't they even tell you to, like, stay at home?
Yes.
Like they would advise you to, like, hey, you're in, we want you for this project. Don't go out.
I did have one of the, I won't say what it was, but one of the paid network projects that I shot during the pandemic, they had a restriction where basically you had to kind of agree to not go out to anywhere public, you know, not go out to bars, not go out to parties where people could be infected. And it was, you know, like a good faith clause almost. Like they can't require that, but it was, you know, this is kind of what they were asking you to do. But they're paying you for your downtime during that.
Yeah. It sounds like a big ask now, but like, back then, people, at least in the pandemic, people weren't really going out anyways. You
couldn't do anything anyway. Nothing was open.
So, like, it wasn't, it's not as big and, like, detrimental as it sounds now. Like, right. It really was, well, yeah, of course I'm not going to, you know? Right. It was very.
But what they would do is they'd be like, if you were scheduled to shoot on a Thursday and a Friday, they would ask you to not do anything Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but they would also pay you for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Right,
instead
right.
of putting you on a daily contract for Thursday and Friday separately, they'd just put you on a weekly, so you'd get paid for the whole thing regardless. So I think that during the pandemic, when you had that huge 2-week window where everybody had to get tested and whatever, I think during that period, you were far more likely to get a tape request where they'd say, hey, we liked you, but make this adjustment and send it back. Mm-hmm. Now that that's all done with, I don't think that's happening anymore, especially with the new restrictions where, you know, self-tapes, they can't ask for more than 5 pages anymore, and they
but
have
they
to give
still
you
a, are.
It's because I just found out about that today, actually, is that they don't have to abide by a lot of those rules for 6 months. There's like there's a 6 month grace period
to adjust
to adjust for all that stuff. Because I was reading a Reddit about that today where somebody was like, I just got an audition for a really big ABC show, and they're asking for a 14-hour turnaround on 6 pages. What the hell? And somebody from SAG chimed in on the Reddit and was like, this is why there's a grace period with certain projects that fall under blah, 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 blah.
Also, side tangent, should we get a Reddit for this podcast?
Ooh.
Like a DeLulu Canoe.
DeLulu Reddit, yeah.
But what, would we ask people to, like, submit their stories or, like?
You could, like, yes, DeLulu stories that people, like, stories of them just being completely delusional would be great.
Yeah. Okay, anyways, I'm just curious if that would be.
Yeah.
You both piqued my curiosity in your answers that, so maybe I'll do it.
So, but now I think that with COVID restrictions and everything and all the processes that had to be done, that increased the price of projects so exponentially.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Like having to test people for 2 weeks before they came in, having to test everybody on set
all the time.
Oh, they had to pay
more. I see.
The cost of production almost doubled because of all the COVID stuff. Now that that's not happening anymore, I think that a lot of companies are trying to save as much money as they possibly can.
Got it.
So that I don't know if the casting budgets are going to be as big as they used to be. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, so they're not going to have necessarily that time to send out notes to 60 people who turned in self-tapes that they kind of liked, where it's like they have to cast this part in 2 days.
Right.
They're going to look at the 60 tapes and they're going to find the three people that got it close enough, and they're going to ask them to do the adjustments because
they
just don't have time for that anymore.
Right, right. But like, I don't think there's ever been a time where I would think 60 people would even be all in the same running for the role. Like, you can tell, like, with my pageant background, you can tell in the first 3 seconds if somebody's got it or not.
Yeah, and most casting directors will tell you that in the first 30 seconds of watching your tape, they know if they're going to be interested for a callback or not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, that maybe that hasn't changed. But yeah, I really feel that with in-person theatricals, it's just, it's building that rapport with the casting director, mm-hmm. because then, you know, casting directors swap assistants all the time too. Mm. So like assistants will remember you. So if you can build a rapport with one casting director and one assistant while you're going into the office, that assistant might change casting offices, you know, go work somewhere else in a room that you might have had a hard time getting in.
Right.
Because their prior assistant might not have liked your look or might not have just thought in their head that you looked good for this type of a role. And now that assistant remembers you from the other one and says, mm-hmm. oh, I got the perfect guy for this. So I think that with going in person, just meeting those people, you get a little bit more cross connection with your connections.
Yeah. Networking is very important.
Within the industry, networking is the word I was looking for instead of cross connection, 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 cross connection.
Connection, connection.
Yeah, take a shot every time I say connection. But with commercials, everything I hate about commercial auditions is exactly why I prefer to do them in self-tapes. So this kind of piggybacks off the props thing with...
Hang on. I think you should define each thing. Like define like what... What is a theatrical versus a commercial? Like tell them as if they've never heard of this.
Okay, so
when I say
theatrical audition, I mean for this will be for like network TV and for movies, either large budget movies or mod low budget, ultra low budget, but all union operated gigs. Mm-hmm. And then
I like making you explain things.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so that's I know like
I love
because
having co-hosts.
No, you're absolutely right because people hear theatrical and they think theater.
They think Broadway.
They think theater, and that is absolutely not what I'm talking about. So typically people would say stage auditions.
Right.
That's all so backwards. So theatrical would be that. Voiceover would obviously be voicing over stuff. Cartoons and whatever. And then commercials would be commercial work, you know. And with commercials, they already, prior to the pandemic, did a lot more self-tapes than theatrical used to. Like, I think prior to the pandemic, for me, it was typically maybe like 3% of auditions would be self-tapes.
Okay.
And 97% would be in person. I mean, that was for real. Like, I would get 100 auditions and only 3 of them would be self-tapes. And then obviously pandemic happened and it was 100% self-tapes.
Yeah.
And since ending with the pandemic, I think it's still 90, for my theatricals, it's been 98-99% self-tapes. They're starting to do in-person callbacks again. But commercials have almost switched entirely back to in-persons again, which that I'm not a super big fan of.
Interesting.
Because with commercial in-persons, it's so weird because it's like they shoot everything in a wide shot. And like typically with theatrical auditions, they're going to have the camera on you. You stand on your mark. Mm-hmm. They're doing it in a medium or a close-up, so you can't really move a lot. It's restricted much more to your classical TV and film acting where it's everything is still and you're doing here. But for commercials, you might be doing a lot of stuff in the actual commercials. So they want to see you do all of that stuff in the audition. So when you're in person, they film it in a huge room that's maybe like, you know, a 30 by 40 room. There's going to be 12 people in there. It's the commercial casting director, their assistants, a cinematographer, somebody to either read or give you direction, possibly the director. Mm-hmm. You might have 2 or 3 people there from the ad agency. You might have 2 or 3 people there from the actual product itself.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of cooks in that kitchen that all have a lot of ideas. And none of them really know what it is that they want to see. So you end up crawling around this room like an idiot, you know, doing a bunch of different stuff. And you always walk out feeling weird. But when you're doing a self-tape, they'll give you instruction of this is what they want to see. And yes, you can use props. And normally I hate using props because they're distracting. But with a commercial audition, you get to go to town. And it's like it's a lot more playful. It's a lot more fun. And you get to like just really go nuts with it. Because in the room, you would have gone nuts with it. But now you're in the comfort of your own home going nuts with it. You get to use your own props.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, that's a lot more fun with the commercial ones. But theatrical, in-person, 100%.
Yeah. Man, I'm trying to think if there's another point that I have to rebuttal or like to say. Because I don't do commercials. So I don't crawl around a big room and let people look at me. I just do that on my own time. but yeah, I think this is really good. Like, I feel a little bit more educated on the history of self-taping and also, like, the history a little bit of, like, what the industry used to be before I moved here.
Yeah.
Because you've obviously lived here in California and have been acting a lot longer than me, and it shows. If you look up his IMDb, he has tons of experience. Yeah, wow. I feel like I'm still very split. Like, I still really love self-tapes, but I also really connect with what you said about networking.
Yeah.
Because that's so important. Like, that's literally the reason I have any acting experience is because I met one person, Cody Renee Cameron. Be sure to go give her some love.
Cody's amazing.
Put her name on the bottom screen. But because of her, I've been on so many sets because she'll just pass me any opportunity. It's like, hey, I know this girl. You're looking for a brunette? I know the girl. Here she is. So, yeah, networking goes a long way in this industry.
Yeah.
But Cosmo.
Is that our time already?
Yeah.
Jeez.
You talk so fast, too. I was very impressed. But I wanted to ask Cosmo, since he didn't really get to chime in on the debate. One, I'd like to know who you think won, self-tape or... I know, you don't have to pick a winner. I mean, just what is your preference?
You don't have to pick a winner, but this is drastically going to affect your Christmas present next year. I'm just saying.
Okay,
well, I have
oh shit, job versus presents.
Well, you know, I have a year to make up for that if I don't. Yeah.
I'm teasing. But I'm curious, like, what's your viewpoint? Like, self-tape versus in-person, and if you have any acting things you'd like to chime in as well.
Listen, okay, seriously? Like,
did we overwhelm you?
No. So I was thinking about this.
What do you mean my acting teacher says I talk too fast? I don't understand what you're talking about.
Okay, in the, before the pandemic, when I was acting, doing central casting and whatnot, all that stuff, it was a pain in the ass going to auditions. Like, I gotta go over here, I gotta go Cat Studios, then I gotta go back over here by this one, then I gotta go over there, but I don't have time for that. So during the pandemic, when they did the self-taping, I'm like, yes, I have time, feel comfortable. I feel like it's a waste of my time going to a place with 100 other people doing for the same role and like not getting any feedback, walking out there. I'm like, well, this is a waste of time. This is the, that's back then. That was the thing. You go to audition, you do your best, bye. Yep. But for me, I'm feeling like, God, it's like going on a first date. And then like, it's like, there was no reaction whatsoever. I went throughout the stops. I got reservations, blah, 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 blah.
Paid for parking.
And then, you know, I get there and then like, okay, that's it. Thank you. I'm like, all right. But if I'm at home, I get a chance to do whatever, like to sit in a tape. That's awesome. That means I can go and audition for more things. Mm-hmm. It's almost the same equivalent as voiceovers. You don't have to be in the studio. It's like, all right, so here's the character I'm playing for. Blah, blah, blah. Here's the lines. Blah, boom. There you go. Sin. Goodbye. Next one. I can probably get more auditions or go through more auditions in a day than actually try to go through LA traffic and find parking and all that stuff like that and making these audition times. That's
okay.
Yeah, that's for me.
But I forgot that point.
Yeah, so you just gave me a couple more points to rebuttal against that.
Oh, if,
I'm gonna go quick.
Go for it.
So
no, take your time.
damn it, I lost it. No, so
parking. Submitting. Not getting feedback.
I think doing self-tapes and doing it that way takes a lot of the magic out of what we do. Like,
I disagree.
I totally disagree too.
I think it takes a lot of the magic out of what we do, because when you can sit at home and you can pump off audition, it becomes repetitive. It becomes mundane, and it's becoming your job.
So it's paying for parking.
And yes, it is a job, but there's a lot
of... So is sitting in traffic.
There's a lot of things that come with, you know, acting as a job that aren't associated with a lot of other professions. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's nice to be able to sit at home in the comfort of your pajamas and rifle off a bunch of auditions. But when you get called in for a big part for something and you get to park underneath the Warner Brothers Tower and you get out of your car and you look up and you see the Warner Brothers Tower right above you. And then you go to the Fox Studios and you look over and you see the giant Simpsons mural on the side of the stage, like being able to see that before you go into your audition. Like,
but some people,
it fills you with that Hollywood magic.
But for some people, that could be like maybe once a year, or like maybe like 15 years into it, and finally, after parking tickets and gotta go to court and then all this other life stuff situation, I think it's not worth it for me. Like, during the pandemic, TikTok saved my insanity.
His default is insanity. Yeah. He's starting to become sane, so TikTok saved him.
I used to just scroll on TikTok when I'm like when I have time, like on the toilet or waiting for the bus, something like that. But then I'm like, I got these cosplays and I love pantomiming. I love like improvising.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is awesome. It makes me more comfortable in front of the camera. Because here I am acting to a soundbite or whatever like that, but I'm putting the video out there. Once it's done, there's nobody else to critique, and I just send it and let it go and see what happens.
Yeah.
And my feedback is like, was it good or was it bad? You know, how many likes? So that made me a little bit more happier, the fact that they were going towards taping.
Self-taping, auditions. Yeah. Interesting. I will rebuttal that parking underneath, like, the Warner Brothers. Like, I used to work for Walt Disney World, and it was always so magical, like, getting to see the castle at night when it was dark, and we would do overnights and learn routines. Mm-hmm. So I get what you're saying with, like, the magic of being, like, in Hollywood. It really, like, makes you feel like I'm not just a speck on this giant planet that's spinning. I matter.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know a lot of people that have had to park and do that for an audition. Mm-hmm. That's, like, a callback. You know what I mean? Like, that's something, like, I don't know a lot of people that have had that, so I don't know that that would be a make or break for someone when it comes to auditioning for something, because they're not going to call in person 60 people to park underneath the Warner Brothers.
Okay, right. Okay, like, that's a very specific parking space. But okay,
that's
then
like
let me
for maybe the celebrity.
But then let me change that to Disney Studios, where you go to Disney and you're going to park in a giant mega structure that's got 80, you know, levels to it or whatever, and you're parked mm-hmm. in just looks like any other parking structure. But you're going to have to walk 3/4 of a mile from the parking structure to, you know, whatever building your audition is at. And the entire time you're walking, there's a pre-printed out, you know, walk lane on the road to make sure you don't get hit by cars and stuff. And every 10 feet, there's a Mickey stamp on it, which mm-hmm. has, you know, established in this year. And you'll have mm-hmm. little facts about Disney Studios posted all over. And
but
it's like, it's
for
a
all
journey
the way to an audition.
To an audition. Because when they would do in-person auditions for mm-hmm. Disney shows, they have a casting office at the studio lot that you would go to do that. So you have to walk through the entire studio, and you're walking past shows that are shooting, you're walking past people taking tours of the sets, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, you really get that sense of magic, and you just don't get that with a self-tape because it's just
and
you
a nice
in your room.
Long walk back when you bomb your audition.
And a night, well, you know, I mean, sometimes you need to sit in the corner of your room and think about what you did, and it'll make you better next time.
Imagine.
You know, but other times you nail that audition and you know you nailed it, and you're walking back and you're high
walk of
on
shame.
On that euphoria of doing a good job, and yeah. you get to see all the Mickey stamps, and you get to see all the little facts about, you know, this building was used for this in 1960 whatever mm-hmm. and, you know, Jim Henson did this here and Walt Disney did this here, and it really reminds you of a lot of the magic that one of the reasons you probably got into the industry to begin with,
right.
you know, is because you were, you know, subdued by the magic of
really
of TV.
I personally don't care for the magic.
Colin's like, fuck your magic, fuck your little Disney stamps.
Like,
I just don't want to get.
I need TikTok
tickets.
Costumes while I'm on the toilet. Like,
listen, like. I
you're a simpler man than I, Cosmo. I like a little magic in my life.
I have to, because, like, I live in a town where the magic is, it's, for most people that don't live here, if they're watching movies, like, when I was a kid before I moved out here and I watch a bunch of movies, I'm like, I'm in it. I understand mm-hmm. the magic. But then when you move here and you realize certain streets, when you, like, for instance, this is a show that's like, hey, let's go to Mel's Diner, and they're, like, part of a court. It's like, yeah, Mel's Diner is down the block. They're at the Mel's Diner over here in the valley. And I'm like, my mind, I'm like, no. There was not a freaking 5-minute drive to yeah. the Mel's Diner. That's all the way in the valley. But you're at the courthouse in downtown. I'm like, that's not physically. The magic is ruined. Especially if you work with somebody in the industry that's hair and makeup. And they point out all the, like, that's a wig. That's this, blah, blah, blah. It's like, now it's like. so now it's like,
yeah.
I only care if I got it.
Okay,
but
yeah.
the fact of me getting to an audition, busting my ass, looking for parking, all that kind of crap. Like, trying to get, like, at least 5 auditions in one day. It's kind of like, for the rest of the year, trying to look for a job. Mm-hmm. Going to interview for a whole year. Now, it's fine, but you're not working. I don't want to say, like, your time is being bothered, occupied by other things, but I just feel like I'm like, if I just send in more tapes, that's fine. That's one thing.
That's more
off
opportunities.
Of my... Yes.
Per that time. You had said, like, it's kind of like wham bamming them and doing them quickly. I can do 5 auditions in a day and not have to quickly do them. That's kind of like a you choice if you decide to, like, land blast through them. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, yeah. think of the time that it would get to go to an audition. Let's say maybe it's an hour, because you have to drive there, you sit in your car before you go in,
absolutely,
you walk
give yourself
in,
an hour, yeah.
you wait, you know, in the line, you see 8 other people that look like you, same height kind of thing, you go in and do your thing and go home, and, like, what can I do in an hour at home to prep for a self-tape?
Yeah. You can get probably 20 done. 20 self-tapes.
20 takes. You get 20 shots. Submit in your best one instead of going in, maybe giving like a 5 or a 4 out of 10 because you were so nervous in the line before you got in. And maybe if you went in and you nailed it, maybe you gave like a 9, but you had to go through all that stress to get there, to not get in a car accident, to not, you know, park in the wrong thing or get a fender bender or get a ticket. Like, the stress levels are completely different in that hour.
100%.
And since the pandemic is done, I think a lot more people are stressed and looking for, like, how can I make this easier? Because that's all we're about. How can we make certain things easier?
You know, and then after the strike, too, everybody's, like, so hungry because the strike killed everything, too. But I think that when you're talking about the magic that's lost, I think, to me, that's two different kinds of magic. Like, you have the magic that Hollywood provides with the stories that it tells, and then you have the magic that it makes on the screen. And I will agree that a certain amount of that gets ruined once you've been on enough sets, because it's like, you know, even when I'm watching myself and I like watch a scene that I love, like, but I also know that, you know, a quarter of an inch off camera just to the bottom right is like 3 coffee cups that I have that I didn't finish throughout the day from, you know, or like, it's just knowing that, like, you see a table and you see a room on screen that looks crazy clean, but you know, right off camera, there's like a billion cables laying everywhere.
Or you point out mic packs on shows.
I do. I constantly point out mic packs. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, he took me out.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's once I'm there, I'm happy. I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
It's not like the auditions. Like you said, there's a billion people that look like you that are.
Maybe not like you, though.
Well, okay. Maybe not like me.
Like, there's 30 really shady looking dudes that I've been auditioning against the same 30 guys for the last 10 years. You guys know who you are.
You know, but also that, too, because before there weren't a lot of roles before the pandemic for someone that looks like me. Right. Like, I would probably get typecast as, I don't know what,
just bouncer.
A bouncer, background guy, or a bartender. But now it's like
tough.
Now I'm like, I'm more confident to go back into acting because of the way things are changing, the movements and all stuff like that. And the fact that self-tape is an option, oh, God, yeah. Because I work. I always put a steady paycheck above all dreams and hopes, whatnot. It's like, I understand some people like live in a car, go to the gym, that's where they shower. That's the struggle. But like the other struggle is like keeping a roof over my head. That's just the way I was raised.
I mean, yeah, of course. You gotta take care of yourself.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. So I can cut all that time and just shoot a little tape.
I agree. Yeah. Let us know in the comments below what side you're on. I'm kind of at a loss for words because I was very much so like self-tape. Like, I was coming into this really ready to like not change my mindset, but I appreciate you coming on here and one, wanting to debate me, and two, like providing what the other side was and what it was like, because I haven't done an in-person tape in so long, and you've been doing a lot more in person lately.
Yeah, commercials have been really rolling in a lot more in person. Yeah, theatricals still not so much. I mean, like I said, callbacks are going back for theatricals again, but
But I appreciate you wanting to do this. Yeah. Like, this was so fun. And even though we were like against each other, I feel kind of like more in the middle. Like, I'm at like 50-50 now.
Okay.
I think I just need to do another in person and feel it again.
I'm just glad we both had so much to talk about on each side. Cause like we had like 4 or 5 other topics we were going to get to, and we never made it past our first one, which was self-tapes. Or in persons.
Yeah.
Like, we were going to talk about, like, typecasting and, you know, all that stuff.
But that just means you have to come back and do the other ones.
You'll have to do it again.
That's what I was going to say. Cosmo took the words right out of my mouth.
Sorry.
No, it was perfect. It was perfect. That's how you know you got a good co-host, when you're, like, thinking the same thoughts. But, yeah, let us know in the comments below how you feel about the situation or who you think won the debate. We won't fight about it later. We probably will. But be sure to subscribe. Hit that bell notification so that way you don't miss a single Delulu. That way you don't miss a single Delulu Canoe upload. I can't talk as fast as you. I don't know why I pretend.
That way you don't miss a single Delulu Canulu. Canulu? Delulu Canulu.
Hey.
Can we change it to Canulu now?
Canulu?
Yeah, no, I tried, but.
How do you spell that? Canulu. It was like cannoli, but not.
Sure.
Delulu cannoli.
Yeah, just a couple of U's, lots of L's.
I'm hungry. Okay.
One more time. Try it again.
Be sure to ring that notification bell so that way you don't miss a single Delulu Canoe upload, and listen to us on Spotify because we're on Spotify. So be sure to check us out there. We'd really appreciate it if you rate us, because I think Spotify has a rating system. So give us some love there. Be sure to check out Cosmo on The Cosmo Show. He has an upload every single week with different cosplay guests. Not even just cosplay, but like all kinds of guests.
People in the community or the people that work in the industry.
Yeah.
Like a little educational thing. So if you figure out things, you know.
Yeah. So give him some love over there and be sure to tell him on his channel that you found him through the Delulu Canoe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go comment some stuff. And yeah, please let us know who won the debate because I'm curious to see what the audience will say.
Yeah, and not even necessarily who won the debate, but what do you think? What do you prefer? Do you prefer in person or self tapes, and why?
I'm like
in person, and that other thing that you like that's not important. Just let us know which one that you like better.
And stay Delulu. We're still working on the outro, but I'm just gonna keep it easy. Just stay Delulu. Bye.